welcome to another episode of the Giant Take podcast. My name is Josh, and I am joined by my friend and co-host Alex. Jam-packed episode of the podcast today. The New York Giants versus New York Jets preseason week 3 recap, the final week of preseason before we get into the good stuff, and that is the regular season. And then we also have our final 53-man roster predictions before the actual cutdowns happen on Tuesday evening. We thank you so much for joining us. Alex, I thank you so much for joining me. How are you on this Sunday night?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I'm excited. I'm ready to jump ahead of you. Disappointing, I guess, with the loss, but certainly exciting going forward and exciting. Going to be a busy week with cutdowns and all that. So excited to get going and excited to create some more content with a lot more stuff happening now.
Yeah, and Alex, I mean, this is like the end of our summers here. It's a very sad time because we are going...
It's very, very sad.
...going to school this week at least. We have classes at least start on Friday. I have a class on Friday. And then really next week it gets going again. It's going to suck, but we're going to use this final week to get as much content done as we can, and then hopefully the same thing through our senior year of high school, although it's going to be a very hectic time, but we're excited to get going here. So from a game perspective, Alex, I would say that it wasn't the most fun because, you know, you show up to the game and you're hoping the Giants win. And even though it's a preseason game, when my dad and I went, it still sucks to lose on a late touchdown. But anyway, let's get into the game here itself, the Giants versus Jets. And we'll go through our notes, starting off with Daniel Jones. And most of the starters did not play in this one. The main ones being obviously your... Like I said, Daniel Jones, Tyrod Taylor started this game, and then we'll talk about him a little later because he went down with an injury. Saquon Barkley did not play. Wide receivers-wise, it was Kadarius Toney. Sterling Shepard. And did Darius Slayton go out there? Yes. So really just...
He went out for like two plays, yeah.
So it was really... only, even though I always think it's more because there's always wide receivers injuries, today at least the did not plays were Toney and Shepard. Okay. And then
not too bad.
Some of the old linemen didn't play, some of the safeties didn't play, whatever. But yes, most starters did not play. I need to go through the whole roster there. But anyway, we mentioned Tyrod Taylor. I'll go to him now. He went down after getting blasted on a hit where he threw the ball, though. It was after the throw. Got blasted, did not get up. He was down. Two offensive linemen came to go help him and like help him up. They thought he was okay. Then they called for the trainers. Trainers ran out. It was really scary because he didn't get off the field. He eventually did and ran off on his own power. So everyone was clapping, sigh of relief, we're good. Then I get news via Twitter because the Giants were playing under us. We were in the 300, so we couldn't really see the Giants sideline well, nor was I looking for them. But so I'm following this on Twitter, even though it's kind of right in front of my eyes. I just didn't really pay attention because I'm watching the game. I see on Twitter that he went into the medical tent. Then he eventually went from the medical tent to the cart, which drove him into the locker room. Scary stuff there. I assume the Giants were just, you know, taking precautions, the correct precautions to not injure him more. And it seems like right now, according to... in his post-game press conference, Brian Daboll, I believe, had a word on Taylor. Was it Taylor? And he said he's doing okay.
Yeah, he did have a word on Taylor. He said Tyrod Taylor should be okay. He was back in the sidelines in the second half in a t-shirt or whatever. So hopefully that's a good sign. Concerning injury there, but hopefully not too bad. And then, obviously, Jalen Holmes and Daniel Bellinger both getting concussions. Oh man, it's annoying, but luckily they'll be back in a couple weeks and will be ready for week one, so that is good. If indeed they both make the roster, I think Bellinger definitely will.
We hope Holmes, as long as the concussions aren't major, just to add that.
Yeah, exactly, unless they're, you know, major concussions. If they're normal, they'll be okay. But certainly the New York injured Giants continuing down not a very good path. Most injuries since 2009, and it looks like that streak's going to continue for quite a bit longer. I guess we can get into like some of the things that actually happened in the game besides the injuries, because I know that's the main thing us Giants fans are talking about these days. Wandale Robinson, I think he had his first positive gain play in preseason. It was an end around, and he showed that burst that we all hope to see from him. That trickery, that agility, that, his juke moves. So it was really good to see him, even though it was just one play, it was good to see that initial burst from him, and excited to see what he can do throughout the season in this Brian Daboll offense when the full playbook is unleashed.
Yeah, Alex, I mean, I would agree with you and some other players that stood out today. Trenton Thompson had a positive performance. He was a big hitter, and he's pushing for, what did you have here, S4? Oh, safety number 4. I got it. I'm following. What you're putting in the outline here. Perfect. So Trenton Thompson, that's a big news story, I guess, today from the game, is that he was out there with the starters, obviously not a starter himself when it comes to the regular season, but with the Giants having those the starters that are already kind of solidified on the roster, they put in some other guys to start this game, the backups, you can say. Trenton Thompson used his opportunity well, went out there, made some tackles, made some plays, pass breakups, whatever you want to call it, and now it kind of looks like it's a more upwards, higher percentage shot he makes the roster than a lower percentage, which it was earlier in the preseason. And another guy with that as well, using all of his opportunities to the maximum level with the second and third team, that is Austin Calitro, who had a fumble recovery today. He also had a pick six, not a fumble recovery today, or was that today too, where he picked up the fumble?
I thought he had a fumble recovery
today. I guess that was today as well, yeah, but I'm just thinking of the play that he made. Was it a pick that he made earlier in preseason, right, against the...
He also had a pick, he had a tip pick in Patriots the first game. Or second preseason game as well.
Patriots
game. Yeah, crazy, man. Austin Calitro is going crazy.
That pick six was just an awful throw by Joe Flacco, but honestly, he dropped back and read it well and took it all the way, so credit to Austin Calitro. I think this really shows, if he does make the roster or if he doesn't, how much do preseason games matter to this new coaching staff and front office. I would say if he doesn't make the roster, it kind of shows that, like, whatever you do in preseason doesn't help you in the long run. If he does, then it's like, wow, this guy, because of his preseason, helped him make the roster. Because really, from the beat reporters, we didn't hear anything about him throughout practices at training camp. He wasn't making plays there at all, and we didn't even see or say his name the whatever three or four open training camp days we went to, Alex. So this really would show how much does preseason games do these preseason games matter to the Giants' new coaching staff and front office?
Yes, certainly. And I think another player here that did really well, another linebacker, certainly has also been playing well in training camp, so that's a differentiator there. But Mike McFadden, again, getting those tackle for loss, making solid tackles all around the field. Didn't do great in pass coverage today, but certainly I think had a solid day overall, nothing too terrible, but he definitely stood out on that defense with a lot of lesser known names per se. Daniel Bellinger, before he got his concussion, he was targeted early and often, and he had a pair of very solid hands for both Tyrod Taylor and Davis Webb before he went down, so certainly positive signs coming in from the rookie tight end. And Trashawn Corbin, ran extremely well today. We saw one Antonio Williams run where he absolutely got blown to pieces and he fumbled the ball. And then we saw a little bit of Gary Brightwell, but we saw a lot of Trashawn Corbin. He got a touchdown. He ran well. He caught balls out of the backfield and certainly looked like he could be a possibility to make the roster in the initial 53, if not definitely the practice squad. So those are some more guys that really stood out. And obviously Davis Webb as well, continuing his hot streak. Davis Webb, QB1, who knows?
And I would say for some of these guys, definitely stay tuned till later in this episode when we talk about the 53-man roster final predictions we have. So yes, Davis Webb continues that hot streak. Brian Daboll, actually, we'll save the Brian Daboll post-game press conference stuff. Let's talk about the main issue in this game. The reason why the Giants really lost this game, because on that final drive, it was a key factor to the Jets driving downfield and getting that game-winning touchdown with only a few seconds left in the fourth quarter. Tackling. Especially tackling by the secondary, cornerbacks, safeties. Grabbing these guys by the legs, not dragging them down, going for their legs, missing completely. Cordell Flott got a touchdown really on him when he was about to tackle the wide receiver, whoever it was. I don't know if it was Denzel Mims or not. I just think of Mims because he had a really big day today. I don't know who.
I think it was Berrios.
Oh, Braxton Berrios' touchdown. Okay. Flock could have stopped him 10 yards from the end zone. He didn't. He got absolutely juked. And I think this is something that new defensive coordinator Wink Martindale should cover in these next few couple weeks of practices before the game against the Titans. Or if it's not him and it's some, you know, one of the defensive assistants, then they need to do that, because I guess tackling the Giants need a refresher in it, because it was a big issue today. And Alex, I want to say this. If the Giants don't learn how to tackle, and you know, in 2 weeks from now, they're going to have a really hard time against this Titans rushing game. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. The bulldozer himself, Derrick Henry, will destroy this Giants team rushing the ball in 2 weeks if they don't know how to tackle. Because that guy is a behemoth of a man, and he is built like a behemoth of a man.
A mountain.
A mountain, right. Saquon Barkley, he's got big quads, but like Henry just has a big body in general. So if they're not able to tackle these slot wide receivers, these really thin, skinny guys, then I don't know how they're going to be able to tackle Derrick Henry. So that is something that needs to be fixed, and it's got to be fixed quickly. I'll stop talking now.
Yeah, certainly. And not just that, even the coverage in general is just woeful by a whole bunch of these secondary guys. When we actually were looking at the 53-man roster and kind of looking at the cornerback position, we're like, oh my God, there's only four cornerbacks that I really put on this team. And it's like, even Aaron Robinson, who really has been struggling, he had a better day today. He had a couple like really bad plays today, don't get me wrong, but he actually had a couple of decent snaps, which we haven't seen all preseason really at all. So that was definitely positive to see. He had a pass breakup on Denzel Mims, which was relatively impressive, and on Elijah Moore, I believe. So I was happy to see that. But certainly the secondary issues, look out on Tuesday evening, Wednesday. You're going to see a lot of moves, I think, particularly bringing in players to fill those secondary voids, because we certainly need depth at that position, if not another starter at cornerback too. So certainly something to watch out for. I think that's going to be the main thing to watch out for this week for the Giants. But yeah, that's certainly going to be a very big topic of discussion. Brian Daboll, you went to him earlier. We're going to talk about him now. So Kenny Golladay, there was that video, of course, of him putting in zero effort again, which is kind of funny. I don't think it's as bad as some of the clips we've seen before in terms of his zero effort, but it certainly wasn't like a great look considering the talk going around about him. Like, I feel like he probably should have known, like, hey, you know, maybe I should have blocked that. I don't think, if people weren't talking about him doing that already, no one would have mentioned it. But because of how it's happening, like what's going on, I think it kind of just added on to it. But on his decision to play and sit starters based on play time and practice in games, it was asked by Dan Duggan, why did Kenny Golladay, who played a lot this summer, play? He said, we're playing all the receivers. It's a competitive group, so they're out there competing, which good, I guess, right? Get these guys out there. Kenny Golladay, just because he's making $72 million, doesn't exempt him from having to go out there and prove himself.
Yeah, and then the bigger, more headline type of quote, Alex, comes next. Or when he talked about, oh, we are playing all the way. Oh, so wait, that was the quote? I thought the more headliner of the quote was like when they were asking him about not like why he's played a lot this summer. I thought there was a quote about him.
The quote about him not making a roster. Well, he basically repeated the same thing. He said, you know, they all have to compete.
Yeah. So the more headline of the quote, we just don't have in the outline. That's why I got stumped a little bit, is I forget who tweeted, all the beat reporters probably, when Brian Daboll got questioned saying, well, is Kenny Golladay a question mark to make this roster? Or like, will Kenny Golladay make the roster? Something of that nature. He then responded with like the same type of thing saying, well, all the players are competing. Now, I think the competition card that kind of Brian Daboll pulled out of his back pocket is not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing because then it pushes all the players to compete. And maybe it doesn't for Golladay because it seems like nothing will make him compete, but maybe it does for other players who are fighting for a spot on this roster. And I think that by Daboll leaving all the question marks in the air, well, first of all, it's going to make the fans and media go crazy, which is, it sucks, but it's also really funny and exciting to see. In one sense as well, I I don't.
I love Twitter, man. I love Twitter. So much fun.
Some fans are going to make a big problem with this statement and saying, oh my God, why he should just say Galladay's a done deal on the roster. For me, I think it's a good thing. I have no problem with him not confirming Galladay's spot on this team. Another player that spot is maybe questionable. Wide receiver Darius Slayton said he wouldn't be surprised if he's not with the Giants past Tuesday. Quote, if it's meant for me to be here, I'll be here. If it's not, I won't. Slayton said he tweaked his hamstring in the first preseason game, which cost him valuable practice time. That was from Dan Duggan. All right. I think we got everything when it comes to during game, post game, right? So let's talk about Alex, you post a little double-sided question here. You want to take over and let us know?
Yeah, so what I'd say is let's give our overreactions from the preseason games. Who's going to be the shock cut and who's going to be the shock that makes the team? I'm going to go first. I think the shock cut is going to be Quincy Roche. I think he's going to be the shock cut.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the same thing. The guy's been coming into...
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I mean, we can make it boring. We can make it boring.
I mean, he's on the third team, so is it really that big of a shock? Maybe yes. Not.
To me, because coming into, I mean...
To me it is, I agree, but I don't think to the Giants it might not be.
No, but shock cut in the grand scheme of things, I guess, coming into the... Because shock cut in the way like, oh, he was on the third team a month ago. It's,
yeah,
right,
true.
Yes, but coming into this, I mean, offseason, if you ask me, Quincy Roche is going to get cut next year, I'd be like, no. They put him on the first team... They put him on the third team in the first place when open training camp began. And we were like, what? Why? Kept on third team. Was still on really the third team throughout preseason. So, yeah, I would still put it as a shock. I think the Giants are really making a mistake by valuing this guy lesser than I think he is as a player on the field. And if he goes to another team, I bet you then he will have a starting role, if not second on that depth chart, and he'll definitely have playing time on another team if he goes there. But Alex, we agree, I think, both on the shock cut. And then on the shock, you started with the shock cut. I'll start with the shock. The shock player that makes the team. I don't know if they're a shock to make it, though. Like, I don't, like, but whatever. I'll say it for what's the word?
For the entertainment.
Sure. Go with that. For the entertainment. Austin Kalitro, the guy, the preseason star. I'm going to say Austin Kalitro makes the roster.
All right. I was going to possibly say Kalitro, but I almost feel like after today's game, well, I guess it's overreaction from today's game in preseason, right? So it makes sense. I'm going to go. I think I've talked about Tomon Fox so much that it's not really in, like, I think that would be a surprise. So I think, yes, he's one of them. But I think the player I'm going to go with is Darren Evans, cornerback LSU. I think he could possibly make the roster. He's been the least awful of the corners, in my opinion. So that's not like saying he's good, but he's the least awful. So I think it is a possibility that he makes the roster, in my opinion. And it could be a shock to many.
All right. So we just finished our recap of the Giants versus Jets game. Let's talk about this 53-man roster before the final cuts actually commence, right? We've done three of these now, 53-man roster predictions. Now in a few days, we'll actually see the results of them, see how close we are, see how far we are.
The first one's definitely going to be the closest.
the last one we did was before pre-training camp, and there were definitely a few things we had to change. I just remember one off the top of my head. Now, looking at the new one, we had Jeremiah Hall on there, and he's already been, I believe, cut, right? So that's one mistake down the drain, and we'll have to see. But we got 53 guys on here. We made it happen. Let's talk about our 53-man roster predictions before they actually happen, our final one for 2022. Alex, I will start us off with quarterback, and then we'll react. We'll do that for each position. Daniel Jones, Tyrod Taylor, Davis Webb. My reactions, I thought this was going to happen already. There were some debates early on when we were doing these that, oh, will they do two quarterbacks? Will they not have Davis Webb making it? Alex, in those times convinced me Davis Webb was going to make it. And then as we've moved on through the preseason, I'm now confirmed that he will make the roster. Why? Preseason superstar, man. I mean, another guy who's really performed for the Giants here. Came from the Bills. Very good stuff he's performed so far in the preseason. He's gotten reps in training camp. Why am I still talking about the quarterback position? We know it's going to be three. We know it's going to be these three guys. If it's two, everyone will be in shock, but I don't think that will happen.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Obviously, I agree with you. Otherwise, I wouldn't have agreed when we made the list. But yes, I think three quarterbacks. Webb has been playing well in preseason as well. So I don't think it's really that big of an issue. And I think the Giants will roll with three quarterbacks. Now we're moving to the running back room. We're really debating here because the first two guys, Barkley and Breida, have kind of been like the, okay, these guys are definitely going to be on the team. And then you have the guys, Antonio Williams, Gary Brightwell, and Jashawn Corbin. And out of those three, one of them had to be cut. And we unfortunately had to go with Jashawn Corbin. So Williams and Brightwell make our roster. And hopefully Corbin, despite his performance against the Jets, still makes our practice squad and doesn't get picked up from there. But those are our four running backs. Unfortunately, we couldn't do five.
Yeah, five is just too many. But I would like to say that Corbin, there's definitely still a high shot he makes this roster. And if he does, I don't fault us for that, Alex, because you really could kind of put these guys in a, like the lottery machine with all the balls in there and really just pick one of them because it, or two of them, because it's really up in the air there between, Williams, Brightwell, and Corbin for which two out of the three make it, there. With that being said, I guess we can go to the wide receivers now. There's seven that make it for us. Kenny Golladay, Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney, and Wandale Robinson. The, what do you call it? The guarantees, I guess you can say. I think there's maybe a chance Kadarius Toney, this is the pessimistic mind I had, that Kadarius Toney goes to IR as the injury prone wide receiver he's been so far in these first two seasons in the NFL. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Just something in the back of my head. And then the guy that has been debated by Alex and I for so long, Darius Slayton. I think at this point with not really there haven't been a lot of end of the back of the depth chart, backups, wide receivers. I know I'm having trouble speaking that have really stepped up and done a lot to earn that spot. And then also with the injury to Colin Johnson, which really sucks. And then also Robert Foster, right? Who got injured or he just got cut. I forget now. Whatever it is.
Both.
Yeah. So I think that it's going to be Darius Slayton that makes this roster. And then, well, we both think that. And then adding to that, Richie James and David Sills. The army is strong. David Sills, we have him making the roster.
That connection with Daniel Jones, man, it's special. It's certainly special. And David Sills, we have him making the roster. I think that group of seven wide receivers is definitely going to be a nice group for the Giants. And provides enough depth if there's any injuries. Tight end, I'm going to go through really quickly because they're really the only three options. Daniel Bellinger, Chris Myrick, and Austin Allen. The only other tight end on the roster is Tanner Hudson, and he just got signed a couple days ago, so we don't think he's going to make the roster. So those are our three tight ends. And because that's so short, I'm going to do O-line as well. So we have Andrew Thomas, Evan Neal, Mark Lewinsky, John Feliciano, Josh Azudu, Shane Lemieux, assuming he doesn't go on IR, Max Garcia, and Devery Hamilton. So that's our 8-0 linemen. We're considering Jameel Douglas, but he's just looked awful in preseason, if we're being completely honest. And with that, you don't have a pure, like a solid, I guess, swing tackle, like a natural swing tackle, but both Azudu and Devery Hamilton have both played that position. So gives you some flexibility there, but I think that could be a position where you look on waivers to see who gets cut for a possible swing tackle. So look out for that on the offensive line. Nick Gates and Matt Peart will both start the season on the PUP list.
And Alex, I think we both agree to the fact that offensive lineman and cornerback are the top two positions the Giants should definitely look for on waivers when that cut point happens on Tuesday night. They should start looking right at 401, really, because they're thin. I mean, cornerback, when we get to it, is the thinnest. It's so, like, one guy gets injured. One of those top three, four guys gets injured. We're down to nobody. Literally, like, no one's going to fill this. They're going to have someone out of position come play cornerback.
The most important person on this roster is Adoree Jackson, without question. If he gets injured, we're screwed. We're just screwed.
Exactly. And to your point, Alex, what he means by that is not importance like, oh, the best player. Like, importance like, if he gets injured, we are season down. There's no one to cover good wide receivers. That's what we mean by importance. Like, literal importance to the roster itself. Adoree Jackson is number one on there. Yes, you are completely right. But yes.
Here's what I would say. If you had to choose, say, if someone told me you either have to play without Daniel Jones or without Adoree Jackson throughout the entire season, I'd say no Daniel Jones. That's how, like, that's right. How desperate I think the need for Adoree Jackson is.
Sure. And I think for O-line, it's more like if someone gets injured, we need a backup. For Adoree Jackson, or for these cornerbacks, it's like, we need someone who can slot into the starter role because they might have to do that week one. Because, like, honestly, we only have, just giving a preview, we only have five cornerbacks making the roster. If someone's tired, they've played three plays in a row, and a team's driving down the field, someone needs to switch. They need a water break. They need a breath. So with only five guys, if three of them are on at a time, two of them might need a sub. That's where we're thinking of. But anyway. You went through the offensive line, and we're talking a little bit too much about it here, but this is a fun discussion. Let's go to defensive line. Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams, Justin Ellis, DJ Davidson, and Jalen Holmes make it. Defensive line was a little bit of a battle, and it still is technically a battle until the cut period happens. The guy you don't see on this list is Ryder Anderson, who made a few plays in preseason. Wasn't really talked about during training camp, but one of the, if not the favorite, kind of like underground name guy for the Talking Giants crew. And unfortunately, we don't have him making the roster. He could make the practice squad. I don't think any team would claim him, but those are the five we have at D-line.
Yeah, I certainly think that's a positive group. You've got two really like complete nose tackle kind of guys with Davidson and Ellis. Dexter Lawrence could play there in a pinch. And then Holmes and Leonard Williams, more defensive end types. So really a nice diverse group out of those five. So like that for the Giants. Moving to linebacker, we have 10, six more edge types and four interior guys. So Kayvon Thibodeau for the edge, Azeez Ojulari, Quincy Roche, Ellerson Smith, Jahad Ward, and O'Shane Zimenez will make the roster in our opinion. So that means no Tomon Fox, who's my favorite. I think he has a chance. Don't rule him out yet. No Cam Brown. And anyone else I'm thinking of? No, I don't think so. So those are the two main omissions from that group. And then interior guys, we have Blake Martinez, Tate Crowder, Micah McFadden. And then if you look on our roster, there's not really any other interior guys except for Austin Calitro, the preseason Hall of Famer. So I think he makes the roster. We have him on as our fourth guy. I think it's possible he doesn't make the roster. Maybe a guy like Carter Coughlin makes it ahead of him. But Carter Coughlin was playing like fourth team reps today, so I don't think that's really realistic. And, you know, it's definitely that third spot now that Darian Beavers went down. It's not the best, but I could see the Giants possibly rolling with only three interior guys, possibly. In particular, if they went with like a Cam Brown instead of Ellerson Smith, where he has the flexibility to play inside and outside. So that's certainly a possibility there, but that's what we have of the 10, six edge, four linebackers, interior guys.
Yeah, and Alex, I can touch on two points here. I'll touch on Austin Calitro first and talk about how really when it comes to him, we already discussed this where it's like, I already talked about it earlier in the episode. Is it going to be how, oh, Austin Calitro, he really shows what is this front office or coaching staff value more? What do they value more? Do they value preseason games more? Do they value training camp more? And that's that. And then what was the other thing I wanted to talk about? Shoot, now it just slipped my mind. There is something else that we discussed. Oh!
Unacceptable.
I'm ready now. Are you good to go to DBs?
Yeah.
Defensive backs? Okay. So we have five cornerbacks. This is where I was going to touch on. Adoree Jackson, Aaron Robinson, Cordell Flott, Darnay Holmes, and Zion Gilbert, meaning no Darren Evans. Earlier in this episode, Alex's one shock to make the roster was Darren Evans. Now, between him and Gilbert, I think it's like, again, another like rock, paper, scissors match, like who could definitely make it. Could both of them? Yes, I could definitely see the Giants having two cornerbacks or having both of those cornerbacks make it and them having six, whatever it is. We have these five guys, assuming, you know, if we're the Giants front office, we're the coaching staff, we're assuming we're going to have these guys and then immediately start looking for cornerbacks on the waiver wire. Am I right with that, Alex? That's kind of how we set this up here with
you. I would think so. Whoever makes the roster besides the first four that you talked about, besides Jackson, Robinson, Flott, Holmes, I think all those guys are probably not going to make the roster anyway. Because Zion Gilbert, like I was cringing inside, like listening to you say his name in our 53-man roster. Like how he's been playing has just been not good. Neither is Darren. I mean, none of these corners have been playing good. They're all terrible, or at least not very good. They're not all terrible. Okay, they're in the NFL. They can't be that bad, but they're not great. Okay, Josh, you're laughing at me. They can't be great.
Yeah, I mean, you're just a little, you're going a little harsh with it. I would just say those two guys, anyone behind Darnay Holmes, right, those top four, Dory Jackson, Aaron Rums, and Cordell Flott, Darnay Holmes, if you're behind those names, you're at risk of getting cut after making the roster. Let's just leave it at that before we...
Yeah, I would agree. It's not the best play, let's just say
that. Yeah, let's be a little kinder with our word selection here. Going to our safeties now, we have four making the roster. We actually, I think, both in the OTAs won with our predictions, and then in the pre-training camp, we only have three. Now we're switching it to four. Am I right about that? I think we only have three. Now switching it to four.
We had four.
We just had four. Different players because someone really liked a player that we'll mention. Xavier McKinney, Julian Love, Dane Belton, and Trenton Thompson make the roster. Thompson having a big day today against the Jets when we're recording this Sunday night, and really has played a lot in preseason. You've heard his name here and there in practices as well, so I don't think that's a question mark. Dane Belton, the only question mark is where he's going to be when it comes to like injured. Did he break his forearm? Was it his forearm? It was shoulder, collarbone. Thank you. Broke his collarbone, and he's questionable to be back by week one. Now, because the NFL season doesn't start until a couple weeks from now, they have off Labor Day weekend. He could be ready in 2 weeks. We don't know. But
I think so.
Why put him on the PUP list and put him out for the first 4 weeks, meaning he cannot play the first four games and he has to wait? I think they'd rather, for this young guy who has a lot of promising abilities, put him on the roster and just kind of wait it out. And hopefully he's back by week one, if not by week two, if not by week three, instead of having him out the first four games, putting him on the PUP list. So it's okay, I think, taking the roster spot for him.
Yeah, I agree. You know, with safeties, Yusuf Corker, he was my guy. I hoped he would make the roster. Doesn't look like it. He was getting like third team reps, and he was definitely behind Thompson. So I don't think he's going to make it. I think he's probably going to go on the practice squad. But certainly a little bit upset about that. And then the most important part of the roster, special teams. I'm sure no one can predict this, but we've got Graham Gano, the kicker. We've got Casey Kreider, the long snapper. And we've got the leg. I don't know. I was like trying to think of a funny nickname. Jamie Gillen. He had a bomb of a punt today.
Haven't people done the Scottish?
Oh, the Scottish hammer. Hammer. There you go. But he's the leg. I just made him the leg. He's like the fake Greg the leg.
He's the opposite he's the opposite special teams Greg the leg.
Yeah, he's a punter Greg the leg. There you go.
I don't know, Alex. It could have been the biggest question mark on the. Maybe you were going Ryan Santoso. We have Graham Gano get to. You're predicting that your players on your favorite team are going to get longer injuries than they should, and you're going to predict Ryan Santoso makes the roster. Who knows? No, we're very much hoping that Graham Gano, who's been extremely solid for the Giants,
Mr. Reliable,
literally, we hope he's there week one, all back from the concussion. We wish him well. And all the players who are injured for the Giants, we wish you well. Seriously, please, players,
tell Merrick to fix the turf.
Just, I don't even know what to say. I mean, rest up. I hope all the Giants players get better and we're all ready by week one. For action against the Titans. And with that, we've wrapped it up. We really done it all this episode. Giants versus Jets recap and 53-man roster final predictions. I will say our next episode, we will see. I assume we'll be back for our reactions to the actual 53-man roster. Alex, do you agree? I think?
Yeah, midweek Wednesday, probably Thursday, maybe something like that.
Yeah. But for right now, a few things you can help us out. If you're listening to this episode, which you are, while listening to this episode, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. To find out most places to listen, go to shipitstudios.com/thegiantTake. Follow us on social media on Twitter @thegiantTakePod, TikTok the same username, and then Facebook and Instagram, The Giant Take. And then all of those places, if I spoke too fast, you couldn't catch it, you want it written out, I don't know. It's in the podcast notes, so you can check out the social medias there. You can also rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever that's available. My co-host, take it away to wrap this one up, please.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode. An action-packed day, and we'll be back next time after the 53-man roster release. Peace.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.